B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We're going to start approximately in the middle of the Omad. Says the Gemara, Ulaheichon Matzilin Oison V'chulei. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Tez Zayin Omad Beis that if Chas V'Sholom there's a fire and there's a risk of Sifrei Torah, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim getting burnt, then one is allowed to save them. It's a special kula in order to save the Kisvei Kodesh. Says the Mishnah, Leheichon Matzilin Oison. If you're to take them from one room to the next, or from one Rishus Hayochid to another Rishus Hayochid, where there's an Eruv and everything is the way it should be, then we don't need a special leniency for Kisvei Kodesh. There's obviously a certain leniency and a certain case where we're carrying them from the Rishus Hayochid into some place where otherwise it would be forbidden to carry there, and therefore it's only permitted to carry Sifrei Torah to save them from being burnt. And indeed, in a Mishnah later on, we're going to see that if you want to save food, you cannot save food to the same place. You cannot carry the food that's at risk of getting burnt to the same place as you can save the Kisvei Kodesh. Kisvei Kodesh, you're allowed to save in a more of a lenient way than other items. So the Mishnah says, Leheichon Matzilin Oison. This leniency, what does it allow us to do? Lemovi she'einei mefulish. The Tanakhama say that you're allowed to take it into a movi which is not mefulish, which means it's not open. Mefulish means it's completely open. Einei mefulish is somewhat more restricted, more constrained, and therefore it's less similar to Rishus HaRabim. It's closer to being Rishus HaYochid. It could be Min HaTorah. It is Rishus HaYochid. We'll see that in the Gemara. And therefore, the Chachomim say that if it's not mefulish, if it's not completely open, then one is allowed to carry these Sifrei Torah from the home into the Mavui. And we'll see in the Gemara what the leniency is and what's going on. And the Mishnah continues, Ben Beseira Oimer Afla Mefulish. Ben Beseira say that in order to save a Sefer Torah from burning, one's even allowed to carry it to a Mavui, which is Mefulish, which is open. And just a very brief introduction. We're going to need this more when we learn Erevin, but we need it for this sugya. There's a concept called Rishus HaYochid, a person's own private home. The Rishus HaYochid has got, there's two definitions, there's two points. Number one, it's enclosed. It's enclosed by walls, and therefore it's considered Rishus HaYochid. There's another detail, and that is that my home belongs exclusively to me. I am the owner of this home. If you take, for example, a chotzer, that we will translate as a yard, a courtyard, there are many batim, many homes, each belonging to their own respective owners, that all have entrances into this chotzer. The chotzer itself, for all intents and purposes, may be Rishus HaYochid, it may be totally enclosed. However, since it belongs to many different yechidim, to many individuals, then one is only allowed to carry there within the chotzer and from the homes to the chotzer, only if one does a ruvei chatzeris, which means you take some bread before the onset of Shabbos on behalf and belonging to all the people in who have entrances to the chotzer. You put that eruv, that piece of food, into one of the homes, and then it's as if everybody lives in the same home, and then the chotzer, so to speak, belongs exclusively to the people living in one home, and therefore one's then allowed to carry in the chotzer and to the chotzer. The next stage is a mavui. A mavui is a type of throughway, a type of cul-de-sac, where lots of different chatzerois come out into it. And even after you have a ruvei chatzerois, are you allowed to carry in the mavui? Here again, the mavui itself may be an enclosure, at least on three sides. Generally, at least one side is open to the Rishus HaRabim, and sometimes even two sides, if it's a throughway, if it's going straight through, and there's a Rishus HaRabim at both ends. However, the Mavui itself is not a Rishus HaRabim, but is one allowed to carry there? So it could be that even if it's considered a Rishus HaYochid, you're still not allowed to carry there, not in the Mavui and not to the Mavui from the Rishus HaYochid, because the Mavui itself belongs to many different people, and there's also the risk of a person going beyond the Mavui and carrying from the Mavui into the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore they needed to do, number one, shtufei muvois, which means that a piece of bread is again put in one of the yards, in one of the chatzeros, representing all the chatzeros of the mavui. Then one's allowed to carry to the mavui. Besides for that, one has to make sure that there's a hecker, there's a some type of recognition, some type of a reminder at the edge of the mavui to make sure that a person doesn't chas v'shalom carry beyond the mavui into the Rishus HaRabim. That's called a tikkun of the mavui. Generally, a tikkun of a mavui comprises of one or two aspects, either a beam going across from one side of the mavui to the other, above the edge of the mavui, and that's a sign. A person who's carrying in the mavui, he sees that beam, he says, okay, the mavui is still here, I'm not allowed to carry beyond that. Another type of heker would be if there's a post which is 10 tefachim high from the standing on the ground, and that post is also at the edge of the mavui, and that tells people you cannot go beyond this point. And then, providing that you've got the Iruvei Chatzeris and the Shitufei Muvois, then you'll be allowed to carry in the Mavui. That's just a very basic introduction, and we're going to see now how this affects our Sugya. So we saw in the Mishnah, Tanakama say that you're allowed to carry from a burning home into a Mavui She'enoi Mefulush, it's not open, Ben Beseira say, even to an open Mavui. Says the Gemara, Heichadomi Mefulush, Heichadomi She'enoi Mefulush. Says the Gemara, Omar of Chizda, we're going to see three different explanations, what's called Mefulush and what's called Einei Mefulush. And Einei Mefulush is allowed according to the Tanakama in the Mishnah. If it's Mefulush, it's not allowed according to the Tanakama. According to Ben Beseira, even Mefulush is allowed. Says Rav Chizda, Shalosh Mechitzos, a type of Mavui that has three walls. It's only got one opening to the Rishus HaRabim. Ushnei L'choyayin. And if it's got two posts, which means there's only one opening, but there's a post on the right, a post on the left, there's two posts, Ze Mavui She'enoi Mefulush. That's called a Mavui that's completely not totally open to the Rishus HaRabim. There's a sign on both sides of the Rishus of the Mavui. That is called Einoi Mefulush, and everybody allows you to save the Sefer Torah from the house to the Mavui. And Rashi adds, obviously we're talking about a Mavui that has Shitufei Muvois, one's allowed to carry in that Mavui, and there's two Lechoyayim, you're allowed to carry them. And we're soon going to see that that's a perfect Mavui, everyone's allowed to carry there, you can save food there, you can take whatever you want to there. Why should there be an issue with that? We'll see that soon. Gimel Mechitza is Velechi Echod. However, a Mavui which has three sides and only one heker, only one sign on the entrance of the Mavui, only one of these posts, Zeu Mavui HaMefulush. Since there's only one Lechi, not two, it's called a Mavui Mefulush. And according to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to carry the Sefer Torah to such a Mavui. V'tarvayu alibud Reb Eliezer. And now we're going to see in a Mishnah elsewhere, we're going to see that in a Mishnah in Erevin, that there's a machlekes tanoim regarding a Mavui. Ditnan, hechshir Mavui. What does it take to be machshir, to allow one to carry in a Mavui? Obviously providing that they've done the Shitufei Muvois, they've made the Eruv, but you now have to be mesaken the Mavui, you have to make the signs at the entrance to the Mavui. What signs are necessary that will allow us to carry in the Mavui? Beis Shammai Oimrim Lechi V'Koira. Beis Shammai say a post upright and a beam lying across the top of the Mavui, that's a sign, and that's what you need to be able to carry in the Mavui. Ubeis Hillel Oimrim. Beis Hillel say, Oy lechi, Oy koira, you don't need both. Either the koira, either the beam, or the post. Rebbe Eliezer says, Shnei lechoyayim. You actually need two posts. You have two posts, then you're allowed to carry there. And Rav Chizda says that both the Tanakhama and Ben Beseira in our Mishnah hold of what Rebbe Eliezer says, that you need two posts. And therefore the Tanakhama say, you can only save the Sefer Torah if it's not Mefulush, which means there are two posts. Ben Beseira says, no, even according to Rebbe Eliezer, normally you need two posts. In order to save the Sefer Torah, we can be more lenient, and you can carry a Sefer Torah into this Mavui, even if there's only one post. Omali Rabba, Rabba said to Rav Chisda, Gimel mechitzois velechi echod mefulish korisle? How can you say, the Tanakhama says that you can carry into an eino mefulish, but Beseira say even mefulish. Mefulish means it's open. How can you suggest that open means that there's only one lechi? What's open about this? It's closed. There's three walls around the Eruv, around the Mavi, sorry. There's three walls around the Mavi, and there's a lechi at the entrance. That's not called open. Void another question, Lerabonon, according to the Tanakam in our Mishnah, that we're talking about a Mavi that's surrounded with walls on three sides and has two lechis, Natsil Letoichoi, Oichlin Omashkin. You can even save into this Mavi food and drink. And we already mentioned the Mishnah is soon going to say that food and drink you cannot save to the Mavi that you can save a Sefer Torah to. Ela Omar Rabba, Rabba's got a different explanation to the Mishnah. Shtei Mechitzos, we're actually talking about a Mavi that only has two sides, which means it's open to the Roshos HaRabim at both ends. Ushnei Lechoyayin, if there's one Lechi on each side of the Mavi, on each opening, that means on the north there's an opening, on the south there's an opening, then on the northern side you've got one Lechi, either on the west or on the east. And on the southern side, you've got one lechi, either on the west or on the east. That's called Shtei Mechitzos and Shnei Lechoyayim. Zeu Mavi She'einei Mefulish. That's called a Mavi that's not completely open, because there's a sign on both sides. She'einei Mefulish. Shtei Mechitzos V'lechi Echod. If you have a Mavi with two sides, and only one of the entrances of the Mavi has a lechi, that's called a Mavi Mefulish. It's a Mavi that's open, because one side of the Mavi is completely open to the Roshos HaRabim. So the Tanakama say that if you have a lechi at each side, you can save a Sefer Torah there. And according to Ben Becerra, even if there's only a lechi on one of the two entrances of the Mavi, you can save the Sefer Torah there. V'af tarvayu alibud Rabbi Yehuda. And both are following an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya we learnt in the Braisa, Yeser al Kain. And the reason that the Braisa quoted here is Yeser al Kain, even more so, is a continuation from a different detail in that Braisa, which we're not going to discuss now. It's talking about if there's a type of a bridge going over the Roshos HaRabim. We're not going into that now. The halacha that Rabbi Yehuda says that we need here is Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Mi sheyesh lo shnei batim b'shnei tzidei Roshos HaRabim. Even if you have a real Roshos HaRabim with everything that entails, and you have a home on one side of the Roshos HaRabim, a home on the other side of the Roshos HaRabim. Rabbi Yehuda holds whenever you have a wall on one of each side, on two sides, then biblically speaking, the area in between is considered a Roshos HaYochid. Even if it's a Roshos HaRabim going through it, it's considered a Roshos HaYochid. The Rabbi Yehuda says that if you've got Shnei Batim Shnei Tzidei Roshos HaRabim, Oy se lechi mikan velechi mikan, Oy koire mikan vekoire mikan, you can put a lechi or a koire on each entrance of the Mavui. And you can carry in between the two homes, in the two houses, even though there's a Roshos HaRabim walking through it. Omruloi, the Tanakam, the Chachomim, argued with Rabbi Yehuda and said, Ein ma'arvin Roshos HaRabim bekach. If Roshos HaRabim are going straight through, then this type of heker, this type of sign of a koire or lechi is not sufficient, and you cannot carry in the Roshos HaRabim with a home on each side. Either way, Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you have a wall on each side, it's considered min ha-Torah Roshos HaYochid. And therefore, coming back to our Mavui, if you have a Mavui that's closed on two sides, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's called Roshos HaYochid min ha-Torah. All you need, it's a Mavui, all you need is a sign. And that's what we saw, that both the Tanakama in our Mishnah and Ben Becerra both hold that you can save a Sefer Torah there. However, according to the Tanakama, who they say it has to be Eino Mefulosh, it means that you have a sign on each side of the Eruv, like Rabbi Yehuda said. And according to Ben Becerra, you can even carry if it's Mefulosh, which means if there's only a Lechi on one side. And that's the special leniency of our Mishnah, that you can save a Sefer Torah even to a Mavui, which is open on both sides to Roshos HaRabim, according to Ben Becerra, even if there's only a lechi on one side. Omar le Abaya. Abaya is now commenting back to Rabba, that you, Rabba, leditchon nami, the same question that you, Rabba, asked on Rav Chisda, that according to the Chachomim, it's a perfectly lekatchila movui, and why? What's the leniency of Sefer Torah, and what's the stringency that you're not allowed to save food and drink there? Then we're going to ask the same question here. If you're following Rabbi Yehuda, as you, Rabbi, suggested, that our Mishnah is following Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have a lechi on each side of the Mavui, then at each opening of the Mavui, you're allowed to lekatchila carry there. So you've got the same question. What's the leniency for Sefer Torah? You can even save food and drink there. Elo, Omar of Ashi. Rav Ashi's got a third explanation to our Mishnah. Sholosh mechitzos. We're back to what we said lekatchila, that this mavi that we're talking about in the Mishnah has three walls. V'lechi echod. Ze mavi she'enay mefulash. Mavi she'enay mefulash, which, according to the Chachomim, you're allowed to save the Sefer Torah there, is if you only have one lechi, you only have a post on one side of the entrance, not on both sides. Gimel mechitzos beloy lechi, if there's no lechi at all, it's just got the three walls that surround the mavui, or that make up the mavui, and the entrance that's open to the Rosh Hasharabim has no lechi, that's called zeu mavui mefulush. It's considered open, it's completely open. That entrance is totally exposed to the Rosh Hasharabim with no posts telling us, stop. V'afilu l'Rabbi Eliezer, d'omar b'inon l'choyayim, hanu mili l'oichlinu mashkin, aval l'seifat Torah b'chad lechi sagi. We saw before, Kuntra Beliezer, in order to be able to carry freely there, you need to have two lechis. Over here, you either have one lechi or no lechi, which means both according to the Chachomim and Ben Becerra, there's a leniency. The question is the leniency that there's only one lechi, not two? Or is it even more of a leniency, according to Ben Becerra, that there's no lechi? But either way, that's the leniency that only allows us to save a Sefer Torah there, but food and drink items would not be allowed to be taken into this mavui, since it does not have two sides, two posts, does not have two posts at the entrance to the Rosh Hasharabim. Continues the next Mishnah. Matzilin mozoin gimel su'udos. If chas v'sholem there's a fire, and a person is afraid that all his food is going to get burnt, it's Shabbos Kodesh, he needs to eat. There's a mitzvah to eat three meals on Shabbos. What's he going to eat? Says the Mishnah, you're allowed to save the amount of food you need for three meals. And that's assuming that the fire broke out before he ate his first meal, typically the Friday night meal. Haro'u le'odom le'odom. That's as much food that a person needs for Shabbos. Then as much as a person needs for these three meals, he can save. Haro'u le'behema le'behema. If he has animals that need to be fed, then as much as the animals need to eat for the duration of Shabbos, you're allowed to save that too. Ketzad, what's the example? Explain. Noflod leika b'leilei Shabbos. If a fire chas v'sholem broke out before the Friday night meal, matzilin mozoin gimel sudois, he can save himself three meals. B'shachris, if the fire broke out before his Shabbos morning meal, matzilin mozoin beis sudois, since he's already eaten his Friday night meal, he only needs another two meals. He's allowed to save only enough food he needs for two meals. B'mincha, if the fire broke out after the Shabbos morning meal, before his sholish sudois, before the third meal, then mozin suda achas, then since he only has to eat one more meal on Shabbos, he's only allowed to save as much food as he needs for one meal. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Rabbi Yosi says, la'oilam matzilin mozin gimel sudois. Rabbi Yosi says that since the Shabbos is a type of day that needs three meals, and sometimes you can save three meals if the fire broke out on Friday night, even the Chachomim agree you can save three meals, and since the food itself is not muktzah, the chotzer that he's going to take the food to, we're going to see that late in a later Mishnah, he's allowed to take the food not to a mavui, as we saw before, unless there's no leniencies. But there's no leniency of mavui for food, but to a chotzer he's allowed to take out the food. Then therefore, since the chotzer has an eruv, then you're allowed to take out three meals, irrespective of when the fire breaks out on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Mechta behatera kotorach. The food that he wants to save, even more than three meals, is not mukta. The chotza has an eruv. What's the problem? Why should you not be allowed to save as much food as you want? Natzil tfei. Why don't you save even more than three meals? Says the Gemara Omar Rava. Rava says, you're right. There's no leniency in the chotza. It's fine. You're allowed to carry into that chotza even lekatchila. However, because the nature of what you're doing is saving foods from a fire, since a person is worried about saving as much of his assets and his property as possible, ishorisli, if you're going to allow him to start engaging in otherwise saving his property, not saving meals, making sure that I have three meals for Shabbos, but you're going to be focusing on saving your things from the fire, you're going to forget about Shabbos, you're going to forget that you're not allowed to extinguish a fire on Shabbos, and you're going to Chas V'Shalom come and extinguish a fire on Shabbos. Therefore the Chachomim said, don't get carried away with saving anything. You're allowed to save just what you need to eat for Shabbos. Omar le Abaya. Abaya asked Rava, Eloho d'Tanya, how is this going to conform with the following Braisa? We learnt in a Braisa, Nishbara lo yichovis b'roish gago, if a barrel possibly carrying, holding wine, broke, it cracked on the top of his roof. Maybe kli umaniach tachtel. If he just leaves it, it's Shabbos, he cannot fix it. What's he going to do? If he's just going to let it all roll, just leak out and pour out, he's going to lose a whole barrel of wine. So what can he do? He's allowed to bring up a single utensil, put it under this barrel, and save, let it drip into, or let it flow into this barrel as much as necessary. But you're not allowed to bring a utensil that's actually going to catch the wine that's flowing off the roof and hold this utensil and catch the wine. Nor are you allowed to take a barrel, another utensil, and attach it, hold it in your hands adjacent to the edge of the roof, so the wine that's flowing off the sides of the roof, instead of it flowing down onto the floor and getting lost, it'll flow into this other utensil. That's not allowed. You can take a single utensil and put it under the cracked barrel to try and save as much as possible. Asks the Gemara, Hosom Maik Zeraika. Over there, there's no fire to extinguish. There's nothing wrong with holding a utensil and catching the wine, or holding the utensil and letting the wine flow into it. Why over there are we so stringent to just let him do the minimum to save just a little bit of the wine? Why don't we let him do more? Says the Gemara, Hochanami Gzeira, there also we're afraid that if he's going to engage in saving as much as he can, that there's going to be come and do an Avera. Which Avera? Shema Yovi Kli, Derech Rishus Harabim. In desperation to save as much wine as possible, he'll even go to Rishus Harabim, a public domain, and find a Kli, a utensil, to save his wine, and carry the utensil from the public domain into the private domain, into Rishus HaYochid, and that's severely also on Shabbos. To avoid that, the Chachomim said, you cannot do extensive Hishtadlus to save the wine. You can take a single kli and put it under the cracked barrel and save whatever you can. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, let's see, we learned in a braisa. Nishbara lo yichovis b'reish gago, if a barrel broken on his rooftop, maybe kli can bring a utensil umaniach tachteo and place it underneath the broken barrel. Yovi kli achir, should not bring another utensil v'yikloit and catch the wine flowing off the roof, nor can he take another utensil and hold it adjacent to the edge of the roof, so the water flowing off it should flow into this utensil. Nizdamin loy orchin, if he has guests, if guests happen to come to him, maybe kli achir v'koilet, then he can bring another utensil and catch any wine that's pouring off the roof. Kli achir umitzarif, and he can take another utensil and hold it adjacent to the roof so that the wine can flow into it. V'lo yikloit v'achakach yazmin, but don't first catch the wine and then look for guests. Elo yazmin, he's allowed to invite guests. V'achakach yikloit, now that he has guests, he's allowed to then save more of the wine. V'ein ma'arimin b'kach, you're not allowed to make a scheme. You don't bring me guests that you know don't touch alcohol, won't touch wine, and say, oh, now I've got guests, I'll save the wine, when you know that the guests are not going to touch the wine. Make sure there's type of guests that would drink the wine, and then you can save for them. If they don't end up drinking it, that's fine, but you don't make a scheme. Don't play a trick. Mishum Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda Omru, they said in the name of Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, Ma'arimin, you are allowed to make a scheme, so to speak. So says the Gemara, Leima bepluktu Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua kamiflegi. It seems that there's another smachlokes tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, who are already arguing in the same machlokes we just saw now between the first opinion and Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda. Are you allowed to do a scheme, a loophole, and in order to save more than you would be otherwise, be allowed to otherwise? It seems that there's already a machlokes tanoim. The Tanya we learnt in the Braisa. It's Yom Tov, and two of your animals unfortunately fell into a pit. And the two animals, it was a child and its parent. There's a machlekas in the Gemara elsewhere, whether it's only the mother or even the father. We won't go into that now, but the halacha is, the posuk says, you're not allowed to shecht a child and its mother, maybe even and its father, on the same day. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to shecht, so the animals are not muktza. However, now that your two animals have fallen into the pit, and you're not allowed to shecht them both, so one of them has no use now on Yom Tov. Are you allowed to carry them both out of the pit on Yom Tov? It would seem that not. Rabbi Eliezer says, you can bring one up from the pit with the intentions of shechting it. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to shecht the animal on Yom Tov. V'asheini oiso loy parnosa b'mekoymoy b'shvil shelo yomus. The second animal, since it's your animal, you have to feed it. You don't need to let it die. So make sure you give it food, but you have no permission to actually take it out of the boyer, because once you've taken out the other one to shecht on Yom Tov, you're no longer allowed to shecht this one. It's going to be muktzah. Rabbi Shua says you can make a scheme, you can play a trick, so to speak. Ma'alin es harishon, first raise up any one of them, almanos l'sheichtoi, and tell yourself, tell the people around you, yeah, I want to shecht it, I need to have a meal, I want to shecht it. Ve'inu sheichtoi, once it's up, you say, just a minute, maybe I want the other one, maybe the other one is tastier. You know, I want to shecht the other one. Umarim, he does a scheme, umales hasheni, and then he brings up the second animal, rotzo zeh sheichet, and then he can shecht whichever one. Now they're both up, you can shecht whichever one you want. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says, could it be that Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Yeshua is the same argument as we saw before, the Chachomim and Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda? The Chachomim say that you first have to have guests, and guests that drink wine, and then you can catch or receive the wine pouring off the roof. But you're not allowed to find guests that you know don't drink wine and then save it for them. And we saw Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says, Marimin, you can make a scheme. Are they arguing the same machlokes as Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer? Says the Gemara, no. Mimai? It doesn't have to be that it's the same machlokes. Dilma, it could be ad kan lo koma Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer only said that you're not allowed to make a scheme to raise up your second animal from the pit. Hosom, it's only there, de efshe b'parnosa. You don't need to take the second animal. You can leave it there. Make sure you feed it. It won't die. There's no reason to make a scheme to bring it up on Yom Tov. Aval hocha, by here with the cracked barrel, de loy efshar, there's no other way of saving this wine, the wine's going to go to get ruined. Loi, in that case, Rabbi Eliezer would agree, possibly, that you're allowed to make the scheme. Va'ad kan loi koma Rabbi Yeshua hosom, and it could be that Rabbi Yeshua that says that you are allowed to make the scheme to bring up the second animal is hosom mishum de'ikat tzar balechaim. Over there, there's an animal in pain, and we know that you're not allowed to cause pain to an animal. You have to try your best to relieve the pain from an animal. Since it's tzar balei chaim, you're allowed to raise up the second animal. Aval hocha, in the case of the wine, deleka tzar balei chaim, there's no animal in pain. Loi, in that case, you're not allowed to make a scheme, and you have to do it in an authentic way. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, we're now going to learn about what type of bread you're allowed to save. Hitzil pas nekia. If somebody saved bread for his meals he needs on Shabbos, made of fine flour. Ein matzil pas hadra. He can't then afterwards say, oh, you know, I actually prefer to eat the bread made of coarse, unrefined flour. I want to save that. No, because no normal person prefers coarse flour to fine flour. Pas hadra, but if you saved and you're even allowed to lekatchila, you can first save bread that's made of coarse flour, then after that matzil pas nekia, you can then go back in to the burning home and take out the bread made of fine flour, because you can say, I actually want to eat from the fine flour, not from the coarse flour. Umatzilin miyom kippurim leShabbos, if Friday is Yom Kippur and then there's Shabbos, then, and Chas v'Shalom, the fire breaks out on Yom Kippur, you can save the food you need for Shabbos. Avaloi mishabbos liyom kippurim, you cannot save food on Shabbos for Yom Kippur, obviously, because on Yom Kippur you don't eat any food. And to save it for after Yom Kippur, that you're not allowed to do. After Yom Kippur, you'll prepare food. Vein tzarech leima mishabbos liyom tov, it goes without saying that you're not allowed to save food on Shabbos for Yom Tov, which is the next day, v'loy mishabbos l'shabbos habo, nor are you allowed to save food this Shabbos in order to have what to eat next Shabbos. There's ample time before next Shabbos to find and prepare food. Continues the Gemara Tanur Rabbonon. Shochach pas betanur. If somebody put his dough onto the walls, he stuck the dough onto the walls of the oven, that's how they used to make bread, they used to stick the bread onto the walls of the oven. And we've learned previously in the Masechta, you have to do it early enough on Friday that the bread is already partially cooked, baked, before the onset of Shabbos. And now you forgot the bread on the walls of the oven, and the Shabbos has come. Really, there should be no problem to use the baker's paddle and take off, peel off the bread before, and not just leave it there in order for it to get burnt. Shochach pas betanur. V'kiddush alav hayom, he forgot to take the bread off the walls of the oven. Now it's Shabbos, what should he do? And the truth is, it's not a melacha, we're soon going to see. It was also midrabbonon, because it's a weekday type of work. It's not the sort of thing you do on Shabbos. Since it's uvde dechoil, it's something which is very much a weekday type of activity, therefore the Chachomim said, do not engage in it on Shabbos. We'll soon see that if you do it in an unusual manner, then in certain circumstances it's allowed. Matzilin mozin sholosh sudos. If he hasn't got any other bread to eat, he's allowed to save, and it's not as much as he needs, to eat the three meals of Shabbos. Va'omer la'acherim, is also allowed to tell other people, bo'u ve'tzilu lachem, you need food for Shabbos, come, you can take the bread, take bread off my oven and use it on Shabbos. Ukushu huroida, when he removes the bread from the oven, lo yirde b'marda, he should not use the typical baker's paddle that he would use to take bread. He should do it in an unusual way. Ela b'sakin, he should use a knife to peel off the bread. Asks the Gemara Eini, is that so? Did we not learn Vatana de Rabbi Shmuel? We learned in a brisa from Rabbi Shmuel, Lo yisase kol melocha. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do a melocha, an activity. Yotzot kias shofar, or a dias pas. This excludes the blowing of the shofar, or removing the bread from the walls of the oven. Shehi chochma. It needs a certain amount of wisdom to do it. Ve'ini melocha. It's not a melocha. It's not an activity. If so, why is he not allowed to use a regular baker's paddle to take off the bread? Says the Gemara, Kamo de'ef shel shnuya mishaninon, in order that it shouldn't be similar to doing work, which is a weekday activity, you should do it in a fashion that's as different to the way you normally do as possible. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Chizda, La'oilom yashkim odom le'itzoas Shabbos, a person on Friday morning should go as soon as possible to prepare his Shabbos. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'hoyo b'yom ha'shishi, it was on Friday, that first Friday when they received the mon from in the Midbar, on Erev Shabbos, V'hichinu eisa sheyoviu, and immediately they prepared the mon, what they needed for Shabbos, le'alter immediately, from the fact that it says, V'hoyo b'yom ha'shishi, as it was Friday morning, vehichinu, and they prepared, so too we should prepare for Shabbos as soon as possible. Continues the Gemara, Omer Abba, b'Shabbos chayev odom livtzoya al shtei kikros. When a person makes hamoitzi and then cuts open, breaks open the bread, he should do it on two loaves. D'chsev says in the pasuk, lechem mishne. They got the mon with a double portion of bread. It wasn't bread, or the mon, whatever it was they were eating, it was a double portion. Since on Shabbos they received a double portion, so too when we make hamoitzi, when eating our three meals, we should do that using a double portion, using two loaves. Omer Rav Ashi chazino leli Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi says that he was witness. He saw Rav Kahana denokat tray. When he made the bracha, he would hold two loaves. Ubotza chodah, but he would actually break open and cut open only one of them. Omer Rav Kahana explained, liktu ksiv. The pasuk actually says, v'hoya b'yei mashishi, loktu lechem mishna, that they would collect a double portion. So when holding up the breads, when making the bracha, he's like collecting a double portion. It doesn't say you actually have to cut open a double portion. Rav Zeira hava botza akula shirusei. Rav Zeira, he was so fond and he was honoring the Shabbos, and it was so important to him, the food he was going to eat for Shabbos, that, for the meal, for the whole meal, that he would, at the first, when he would cut open the challah, making hamoitzi, he would immediately cut away a very large piece, which is everything he was going to eat for the duration of the entire meal. He would cut that with his first piece of challah. Omale Ravina Ravashi, v'homerzik Ravasanusa. Ravina asked Rav Ashi, does that not look like a little bit being over-enthusiastic for food? He's a Rav son. It's not appropriate to like fall on your food and like take away one piece of bread which you're going to eat for the whole meal as if there's no yesterday, as if there's no tomorrow. Omar Lei answered him, Kivan de kol yoyim loy ovid. Rav Ashi answered to Ravina, since every day, Rav Zeira didn't used to do this, and he's only doing it today because it's Shabbos Kodesh. Anyone who's seeing him will see this is not somebody who's just falling over his food. No, this is somebody who's honoring and respecting Shabbos and the Sudas Shabbos, the meals of Shabbos. Continues the Gemara of Ami Verv Asi, Ki Miklu Luhu Rifta, when it happened upon them, it was their turn to receive the bread, the eruva of the eruv. We mentioned before that the way you make an eruv is that in one of the homes that are sharing the same chotzer, there would be some bread that would be put there on behalf of all the people who own homes adjacent to this chotzer, and they would make turns every week. Somebody else would get it. So Rav Amin, Rav Asi, when it was their turn, then sharu ilave. They would start a meal with this bread. When they would make hamoitzi, they would make the brocha using this bread. Omri, they would say, hoil vis avid b'chodem mitzvah. Since this bread was used for one mitzvah, namely making an eruv, lis avid be mitzvah achrina, we're going to do another mitzvah with it and make a brocha on it, and therefore they would use this bread to make a brocha. Im yirtzeh Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.